Methodists again, where friends had been in great sufferings. For the Presbyterian priest had excommunicated them and given charge that none should buy or sell or eat or drink with them. So they could neither sell their commodities nor buy what they wanted, which made it go very hard with some of them. For if they had bought bread or other victuals of any of their neighbors, the priest threatened them so with curses that they would run and fetch it again from them. But Colonel Ashfield, being a justice of the peace in that country, put a stop to the priest's proceedings. This Colonel Ashfield was afterwards convinced himself, had a meeting settled at his house, declared the truth, and lived and died in it. After I had visited friends at and about Heads and encouraged them in the Lord, I went to Glasgow, where a meeting was appointed, but not one of the town came to it. As I went into the city, the guard at the gates took me before the governor, who was a moderate man. A great deal of discourse I had with him. He was too light to receive the truth, yet he set me at liberty, so I passed to the meeting. Seeing none of the town's people came to the meeting, we declared truth through the town, then passed away, visited friends' meetings thereabouts, and returned towards Badcow. Several friends declared truth in the steeple houses, and the Lord's power was with them. Once as I was going with William Osborne to his house, there lay a company of rude fellows by the wayside, hid under the hedges and in bushes. Seeing them, I asked him what they were. "Oh," said he, "they are thieves." Robert Witters, being moved to go and speak to a priest, was left behind, intending to come after. So I said to William Osborne, "I will stay here in this valley, and do thou go and look after Robert Witters." But he was unwilling to go, being afraid to leave me there alone, because of those fellows, till I told him I feared them not. Then I called to them, asking them what they lay lurking there for, and I bade them come to me, but they were loath to come. I charged them to come up to me, or else it might be worse with them. Then they came trembling, for the dread of the Lord had struck them. I admonished them to be honest, and directed them to the light of Christ in their hearts, that by it they might see what an evil it was to follow after theft and robbery, and the power of the Lord came over them. I stayed there till William Osborne and Robert Witters came up, and then we passed on together. But it is likely that, if we two had gone away before, they would have robbed Robert Witters when he had come after alone, there being three or four of them. We went to William Osborne's house, where we had a good opportunity to declare the truth to several people that came in. Then we went among the Highlanders, who were so devilish they were like to have spoiled us and our horses, for they ran at us with pitchforks. But through the Lord's goodness we escaped them, being preserved by his power. Thence we passed to Stirling, where the soldiers took us up and had us to the main guard. After a few words with the officers, the Lord's power coming over them, we were set at liberty. But no meeting could we get amongst them in the town. They were so closed up in darkness. Next morning there came a man with a horse that was to run a race, and most of the townspeople and officers went to see it. As they came back from the race, I had a brave opportunity to declare the day of the Lord and his word of life amongst them. Some confessed to it and some opposed, but the Lord's truth and power came over them all. Leaving Stirling, we came to Burntisland, where I had two meetings at one Captain Poole's house, one in the morning and the other in the afternoon. Whilst they went to dine, I walked to the seaside, not having freedom to eat with them. Both he and his wife were convinced, and became good friends afterward, and several officers of the army came in and received the truth. We passed thence through several other places till we came to Johnston's, where were several Baptists that were very bitter, and came in a rage to dispute with us. Vain janglers and disputers indeed they were. When they could not prevail by disputing, they went and informed the governor against us. And next morning he raised a whole company of foot and banished me and Alexander Parker, also James Lancaster and Robert Witters, out of the town. As they guarded us through the town, James Lancaster was moved to sing with the melodious sound in the power of God, and I was moved to proclaim the day of the Lord and preach the everlasting gospel to the people. For the people generally came forth, so that the streets were filled with them, and the soldiers were so ashamed that they said they would rather have gone to Jamaica than guarded us so. But we were put into a boat with our horses, carried over the water, and there left. The Baptists who were the cause of our being thus put out of this town were themselves, not long after, turned out of the army, and he that was then governor was discarded also when the king came in. Being thus thrust out of Johnston's, we went to another market town where Edward Billings and many soldiers were quartered. We went to an inn and desired to have a meeting in the town that we might preach the everlasting gospel among them. The officers and soldiers said we should have it in the town hall, but the Scotch magistrates, in spite, appointed a meeting there that day for the business of the town. When the officers of the soldiery understood this and perceived that it was done in malice, they would have had us go into the town hall nevertheless. But we told them, no, by no means. For then the magistrates might inform the governor against us and say, they took the town hall from us by force, when we were to do our town business therein. We told them we would go to the marketplace. They said it was market day. We replied, it is so much the better, for we would have all people to hear the truth and know our principles. Alexander Parker went and stood upon the market cross with a Bible in his hand and declared the truth among the soldiers and market people. But the Scots, being a dark, carnal people, gave little heed and hardly took notice what was said. After a while, I was moved of the Lord to stand up at the cross and to declare with a loud voice the everlasting truth and the day of the Lord that was coming upon all sin and wickedness. Thereupon the people came running out of the town hall and gathered so together that at last we had a large meeting, for they only sat in the court for a color to hinder us from having the hall to meet in. When the people were come away, the magistrates followed them. Some walked by, but some stayed and heard, and the Lord's power came over all and kept all quiet. The people were turned to the Lord Jesus Christ who died for them, and had enlightened them, that with his light they might see their evil deeds, be saved from their sins by him, and might come to know him to be their teacher. But if they would not receive Christ and own him, it was told them that this light which came from him would be their condemnation. We traveled from this town to Leith, warning and exhorting people as we went to turn to the Lord. At least the innkeeper told me that the council had granted warrants to apprehend me because I was not gone out of the nation after the 7 days were expired that they had ordered me to depart in. Several friendly people also came and told me the same, to whom I said, why do you tell me of their warrants against me? If there were a cartload of them, I would not heed them, for the Lord's power is over them all. Footnote 139. Here is more of the Luther spirit. He is reported to have said, I would go to Leipzig if it rained Duke George's 9 days running. I went from Leith to Edinburgh again, where they said the warrants from the council were out against me. I went to the inn where I had lodged before, and no man offered to meddle with me. After I had visited friends in the city, I desired those that traveled with me to get ready their horses in the morning, and we rode out of town together. There were with me at that time Thomas Rawlinson, Alexander Parker, and Robert Witters. When we were out of town, they asked me whither I would go. I told them it was upon me from the Lord to go back again to Johnston's, the town out of which we had been lately thrust. to set the power of God and His truth over them also. Alexander Parker said he would go along with me, and I wish the other two to stay at a town about 3 miles from Edinburgh till we returned. Then Alexander and I got over the water about 3 miles across and rode through the country. But in the afternoon, his horse being weak and not able to hold up with mine, I rode on ahead and got into Johnston's just as they were drawing up the bridges, the officers and soldiers never questioning me. I rode up the street to Captain Davenport's house from which we had been banished. There were many officers with him, and when I came amongst them, they lifted up their hands, wondering that I should come again. But I told them the Lord God had sent me amongst them again, so they went their way. The Baptist sent me a letter, by way of challenge, to discourse with me next day. I sent them word that I would meet them at such a house, about half a mile out of the town, at such an hour. For I considered that if I should stay in town to discourse with them, they might, under pretense of discoursing with me, raise men to put me out of the town again as they had done before. At the time appointed, I went to the place, Captain Davenport and his son accompanying me. There I stayed some hours, but not one of them came. While I stayed there waiting for them, I saw Alexander Parker coming. Not being able to reach the town, he had lain out the night before, and I was exceedingly glad that we were met again. This Captain Davenport was then loving to friends, and afterwards coming more into obedience to truth, he was turned out of his place for not putting off his hat, and for saying thou and thee to them. When we had waited beyond reasonable ground to expect any of them coming, we departed. And Alexander Parker, being moved to go again to the town where we had the meeting at the Market Cross, I passed alone to Lieutenant Foster's quarters, where I found several officers that were convinced. Then I went up to the town where I had left the other two friends, and we went back to Edinburgh together. When we were come to the city, I bade Robert Widders follow me. And in the dread and power of the Lord, we came up to the two first sentries. The Lord's power came so over them that we passed by them without any examination. Then we rode up the street to the marketplace and by the main guard, out at the gate by the third sentry, and so clear out into the suburbs. And there we came to an inn and put up our horses, it being seventh day. I saw and felt that we had ridden, as it were, against the cannon's mouth or the sword's point, but the Lord's power and immediate hand carried us over the heads of them all. Next day I went to the meeting in the city, friends having had notice that I would attend it. There came many officers and soldiers to it, and a glorious meeting it was. The everlasting power of God was set over the nation, and His Son reigned in His glorious power. All was quiet, and no man offered to meddle with me. When the meeting was ended and I had visited friends, I came out of the city to my inn again. The next day, being second day, we set forward towards the borders of England. As we traveled along the country, I espied a steeple house, and it struck at my life. I asked what steeple house it was and was told that it was Dunbar. When I came thither and had put up at an inn, I walked to the steeple house, having a friend or two with me. When we came to the steeple house yard, one of the chief men of the town was walking there. I asked one of the friends that was with me to go to him and tell him that about the ninth hour next morning there would be a meeting there of the people of God called Quakers, of which we desired he would give notice to the people of the town. He sent me word that they were to have a lecture there by the ninth hour, but that we might have our meeting there by the eighth hour if we would. We concluded to do so and desired him to give notice of it. Accordingly, in the morning, both poor and rich came, and there being a captain of horse quartered in the town, he and his troopers came also, so that we had a large concourse, and a glorious meeting it was, the Lord's power being over all. After some time, the priest came and went into the steeple house, but we, being in the yard, most of the people stayed with us. Friends were so full and their voices so high in the power of God that the priest could do little in the house, but quickly came out again, stood a while, and then went his way. I opened to the people where they might find Christ Jesus and turned them to the light with which he had enlightened them, that in the light they might see Christ who died for them, turn to him, and know him to be their Savior and teacher. I let them see that the teachers they had hitherto followed were hirelings who made the gospel chargeable, showed them the wrong ways they had walked in the night of apostasy, directed them to Christ, the new and living way to God, and manifested unto them how they had lost the religion and worship which Christ set up in spirit and truth, and had hitherto been in the religions and worships of men's making and setting up. After I had turned the people to the Spirit of God, which led the holy men of God to give forth the Scriptures, and showed them that they must also come to receive and be led by the same Spirit in themselves, a measure of which was given unto every one of them, if ever they would come to know God and Christ, and the Scriptures aright, perceiving the other's friends to be full of power and the word of the Lord, I stepped down, giving way for them to declare what they had from the Lord to the people. Towards the latter end of the meeting, some professors began to jangle, whereupon I stood up again and answered their questions, so that they seemed to be satisfied, and our meeting ended in the Lord's power, quiet and peaceable. This was the last meeting I had in Scotland. The truth and the power of God was set over that nation, and many, by the power and Spirit of God, were turned to the Lord Christ Jesus, their Savior and teacher, whose blood was shed for them. And there is since a great increase, and great there will be in Scotland. For when first I set my horse's feet upon Scottish ground, I felt the seed of God to sparkle about me, like innumerable sparks of fire. Not but that there is abundance of the thick, cloddy earth of hypocrisy and falseness above, and a briary, rambling nature, which is to be burnt up with God's word, and plowed up with his spiritual plow, before God's seed brings forth heavenly and spiritual fruit to his glory. But the husbandman is to wait in patience. Footnote 140. This passage has suggested the idea which finds beautiful expression in the closing stanzas of Whittier's Barclay of Uri. Knowing this, that never yet share of truth was vainly set in the world's wide follow. After hands shall sow the seed, after hands from mill and mead reaps the harvest yellow. Thus, with somewhat of the seer, must the moral pioneer from the future borrow, clothe the waste with dreams of grain, and on midnight sky of rain, paint the golden morrow. Chapter 12, Great Events in London, 1658-1659. We came into Bedfordshire, where we had large gatherings in the name of Jesus. Footnote 141. There were few novel experiences on the way from Scotland to Bedfordshire. At Nottingham, he had a controversy with Rice Jones, an opposer of the earlier visit. He pointed out that many of Rice Jones's followers were become the greatest football players and wrestlers in the whole country, which is an interesting comment on the ministry of Rice Jones. After some time, we came to John Crook's, where a general yearly meeting for the whole nation was appointed to be held. Footnote 142. John Crook's house was at Luton in Bedfordshire. This is among the first of the great national general meetings out of which came